This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe Humphrey, and I'm joined here in the studio today by Gabriel Brangers.
Good morning.
And Robbie Payne.
What's up? I like that you have to now say here in the studio.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. 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 It's we're here in the studio. We try to be as safe as possible, but we are here and ready to do another episode of the Chromecast. We are on what? This is 102 now. I'm gonna keep mentioning that we've done 100 episodes because I'm proud of it.
Like the giveaway, chapter one's done. Yeah. Chapter two.
I guess if you listen to this as soon as we post this, the giveaway will still be running for the Nest Mini and the Smart Clock Essential.
When's it end?
Tonight at midnight. I think.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, if we, I wasn't going to mention it, but yeah, I guess if I sometimes I'll set them at like 4 o'clock so that way I can go ahead and pick a winner. But this one I'll just pick a winner tomorrow. So yeah, go ahead and get entered. Yeah, enter to win the giveaway. We'll make sure to link it.
Win things.
So one other thing that I literally just thought of this as I started talking. This is what happens when we podcast. I don't write things down and then they just kind of come to me. If anyone has been holding their breath waiting for the video version of the Chromecast, I'm sorry.
You're going to have to hold that breath a little
longer. It's getting there.
I know your face is getting purple.
I'm a liar.
Sorry.
I know I said we are still working on it, but I was hoping to get it like ready 2 weeks ago, basically. So I lied. I'm sorry. Actually, I don't know if I ever gave a specific date.
No.
But there's been technical.
Yeah, things.
One of the battery adapters to the camera was wrong. We talked about that. We have a very awesome desk that we're going to use for this. That's going to be pretty epic, I think. And it showed up yesterday. We were super excited. We were going to get it all set up, and they sent us the wrong legs. Like they sent us. Well, we'll go and say it's an L shape.
Yeah.
Autonomous desk, and it's going to be dope. And they sent us legs for a standard desk. So yeah. one leg missing.
We got about 5/8 of a desk.
Yeah. That's all right.
We could maybe make it work, which we discussed yesterday.
Stand it up on some stuff. Yeah,
we definitely considered trying to make it work yesterday, but the frame underneath would be the issue. Like the side part, it's not one piece. Like the side part has to be.
Oh, we would 100% just like throw it on top of the table we're using now. That's how it would work. That's the only way it would work right now because those two legs are not going to hold up.
It's
not going to happen.
We probably thought about that. Okay. Anywho, stay tuned for that. It's coming. I promise. Let's talk about some Chromebook stuff, and let's start with the Samsung. Let's get that kind of out of the way. If sorry, anyone saw...
Sorry, little guy. He just wants to get you out of the way. Yeah, he doesn't even care.
Just get out of here, bro. If anyone saw our unboxing and first impressions of the Galaxy Chromebook 2, it's out. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I personally am really excited about the video quality. We did a side shot. Well, we did our main A, you know, our A-roll shot face on. I did a side shot with our Sony A6500, and then we have our old 6000 that I put up top as a top-down shot. It was a little bit off, just a smidge off. It should have been tilted towards you, just a smidge. I mean, it wasn't even enough that I could adjust it. It was so close.
Just a skosh. Just a
pinch. The other weird part is when you're top-down and you have a laptop open, the top of the screen's like coming up into the shot, and it looks, that kind of made it look weird too, so it kind of it made the skew even worse. But anywho, it looks dope. Go check it out.
Yeah, I didn't. For what it's worth, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably the only one that noticed it because you know.
Well, now everybody listening is going to notice.
The same reason the dartboard's not square.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, I give them.
I was looking over Robbie's shoulder, so things were out of perspective, and it looked straight.
It was super scientific.
What did Joe do when he helped hang the dartboard? I had
a level.
But
I even think the level would have screwed us on this because the numbers are not. It's a weird board.
Perpendicular.
But honestly, now that I've thrown on it a little bit, it doesn't even bother me.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, it's going to hurt our aspirations going pro, you know?
I mean, if we get good at this, we can do anything, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Anywho.
No.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2. We did the unboxing. Go check it out if you haven't seen it already. We'll link it. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to give you all a preview. We're getting fairly close to doing this review because truth be told, we had the device for a little bit before we did the unboxing. So Robbie was already kind of getting some ideas. Multiple of us kind of used it over the weekend. And yeah, kind of starting to get together the review and hopefully maybe get that together next week, honestly.
Yeah, so that's the plan, probably late next week.
Yeah.
We'd like to have this review out. So preview. And Gabe's been using, we actually had two of them for a couple different reasons. But
yeah.
We can talk about the reason.
Mr. Mobile called it out. There was an issue with the keyboard. There was double typing.
Was Michael's
a lot.
Like that too?
Mm-hmm. He complained about that in his video.
I guess I'm.
But he complained about like getting double types. I still get that a little bit on this, and we'll hit on that in a second. But and I think the first one that we had, I don't know if it was a software change or just maybe it wore in with the hardware. Like you weren't getting it
crazy. And I wonder if it was just that after using it, it worked. But it could have been an update. We've had a couple of updates since we got it. So
yeah, I mean it initially, it got so bad that I typed two sentences in an email and there were double, triple spaces between words. I counted 18 in two sentences. And so it just looked like a ransom note, you know, because there's all these random spaces and stuff and double types. And so I reached out to Samsung and said, hey, I think I got a lemon here. And they said they hadn't heard anything about that. And the only other person that has said anything is Michael. So it makes me think there might be a small batch of these either that need to get worked in a little bit or because the second one they sent has no issues like that. Now, that being said, I do get double types every once in a while because this is a super short throw keyboard. Like, it's not quite as bad as the 2016, 2017 Max that everyone hated.
Yeah.
It's not that short throw, but it is short throw. Like, it's less travel, I think, than like the Pixelbook Go or the Pixelbook. So, and those are already small travel. But the click mechanism feels good. It's not a bad typing experience, but I think, especially I came from the Lenovo, C13, which has a lot of key travel, and it's one of those keyboards that forces you to kind of work for it a little bit. Like, it's good, but, you know, if you get lazy on these really shallow keyboards, it's like, oh, crap, you know, I need to get my fingers back in shape. And then I came back to this, and so I was probably typing a little extra hard as well. I've kind of gotten used to it now. I'm gotten pretty accurate again on it, but there's a bit of a learning curve. And at first it just feels like it's going to be a great keyboard. And it just, I don't know, I had a little bit of hard time, getting used to it and still don't love it. I really love the original Galaxy Chromebooks keyboard. And I don't know if these are the same, but I don't love this keyboard.
Yeah. That's what I like. That's where I was with it. Cause I've been working on the C, 1030, the HP, and
it's got a great keyboard.
Yeah, it's got a great keyboard. The Samsung's good, but it was, I never once sat down and was like, oh man, this is really nice. It's just like, it's fun.
It works.
But the one I had, which was the original, it also, it felt like the tuning on the touchpad was a little hot. So I have, we've had one other device. I think Robbie said the Pro actually did this
Samsung
too.
Samsung Chromebook Pro.
The touchpad was so sensitive that you would swipe up to scroll like a web page and it would detect your finger moving after you lifted it. So it, you'd get that bounce. It'd scroll up and then bounce back down. And it never stopped, so it was clearly an issue with that specific touchpad, and that is annoying to me. I had an old Acer that did that, and it was so frustrating.
And I remember experiencing that on that one. It hasn't happened at all in this one. So, again, I think that first one, there's probably something internally not quite right with it. I've not had the same issues. And that being said, the trackpad is very nice. Glass, smooth, a little small, but, you know, it's nice. You know, the red color's awesome. The screen is very good.
Dope.
Like, very, very good.
It was awesome to film it because it just, like, it was so, like, filming screens is not as easy as you would think.
Especially Chromebook screens, because there's quality that comes out whenever you start filming a screen that you don't necessarily see. Like, the Acer Spin 713, in practice, it's a great screen. I never complain about the 713's screen, but we can't film it.
Go.
Like it does like the weird shutter rolls, and
I was gonna say go check our review of the C13, but it's not out yet.
Yeah,
there's a shot. There's a shot in there where you can distinctly see it.
Yeah,
it's bad,
and that's quality. So that's different ways that the screen's refreshing and the way it's backlit and all that kind of stuff. High quality screens, and again, for end users,
doesn't matter.
I mean,
really,
99% of people aren't going to worry about how their screen looks when they're recording it, but it's indicative for us when we look at it and go, oh yeah, that's not great. There's obviously some quality. Pixelbook Go does the same thing. It looks okay, and then you start recording it and you're like, oh, that's not great. You know, the display on this isn't what the original was, but I don't think it's not a detractor at all. Like, there's no part of the screen experience here that I'm like, oh man, I really wish I had that AMOLED from the original. Like, the colors are amazing. The colors are accurate. The viewing angles are just like spot on. You know, the darks and black parts are dark and black, and you know, the highlights are crispy white, especially you set it next to the Pixelbook Go and you see like the yellowish tint of that screen versus the clear white of this one. And I mean, I've said it 100 times, but 1080p on a 13.3-inch screen, no issues. I'm looking at it at regular viewing distance right now. There's no pixels to be picked out here, and I have good vision. So it's like that part they just nailed. And yes, it's a step back technically, but it's not a detractor at all for this device. So they nailed it on the screen, and they nailed it with the color. Like the red still looks awesome. It's a little fingerprinty.
It looks great.
It's different than the original.
It's a little more
orange.
Yeah, so it creates more of the
but also more saturated.
University of Louisville had the uniforms a couple years ago.
Those like neon ones.
They were super hot. Infrared is what they called it. It's got that kind of feel to it. It's just hot.
It's hot.
Hot red.
It was hard to film. It was actually really hard to film. I actually, truth be told, the footage that I got was like in camera was way too saturated. Like, it was like, didn't look good. I had to actually go in and turn down
the color,
the red, to make it look like what it looks like to our eyes, you know.
You know, another kind of thing I don't love is the keyboard deck is plastic. They did a great job of matching the colors. You know, as you look at the lid and you look at the keyboard deck, it's like they did a pretty good job here. But you can just tell it's not metal. And I don't know, for a $699 Chromebook, I would have liked to seen that. When it's on the desk, there's no flimsiness to it or anything like that, but you pick it up, you can wrench it a little bit more than I would like. And that was one of the things for this device that, I don't know, that I was looking for. I wanted to pick this up and it feel as well thought out and designed as the Pixelbook Go. That was, because it's like, you need those things to justify a $700 price point for a Core i3 device with eMMC storage inside of it. You know, you get metal on the bottom. It's got fans this time around, so overheating's not been an issue. I know Gabe said with that other one that he, something was happening.
I still don't know what was happening, yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, I haven't had any heating issues whatsoever. I've not had any battery life issues. I mean, right now it's sitting at, you know, I've had it off the charge, I don't know, since 15 minutes before I've been in here messing with it. It's still sitting at 100%. So, and I've got the screen brightness cranked 100%. So I've been seeing, you know, realistic like 8-9 hours of use out of it. It's not, oh my gosh, this has got the best battery I've ever seen in a Chromebook, but it's a far cry better than what it was.
Yeah.
And so you, they fixed the things that they needed to fix, sidestepped on some things like the keyboard. Probably a lot of people aren't going to have any issue with. The backlighting looks good. It's it, like I said, it's comfortable enough. Trackpad's good, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the fingerprint scanner's gone. The camera on the keyboard deck is gone. The stowable stylus is gone. It is USI compatible, so that works. But you've removed quite a few things from a hardware perspective. You've replaced at least a third. It's probably fair to almost say more than that, with plastic versus metal. You've swapped out SSD, NVMe SSD for eMMC storage. You've downgraded to a Core i3 from last year. So, I mean, those, that's a lot of trade-offs. It's a bunch when you start listing them out. And I think $300 to take off the price from a Chromebook that's a year old at this point, or over a year old, isn't enough. You know, I think at the right price point, this is a fantastic Chromebook. Like, this is, holy crap, this thing's excellent. But it needs to get down there and play around with the HP 14C and the Spin 713 to be truly competitive. They get that Samsung tax no matter what. People are going to pay a little more for the color, Samsung, you know, that kind of stuff, or the screen. I mean, this thing's going to be sitting, it probably is right now. If you go to a Best Buy, it's probably sitting on the shelf, and it's right there, and it's probably got its own little space, and people walk by and look at it, and the screen's eye-popping.
It's Galaxy, too.
It's a Galaxy Chromebook. The screen looks amazing. The red color just is like, holy crap, that might be enough. Honestly, I mean, when it comes down to it, that might be enough. But for us, when we look at Chromebooks and the people that watch our stuff and read our stuff, they're expecting, okay, but I also want you to compare it to other things. Mm-hmm. And is this a good value proposition? In some ways, yeah. In some ways, no. And in some ways, I'm still kind of forming my opinion on it. But spoiler alert, I can tell you, I'm not as in love with it as I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to get the Pixelbook Go thing from it. I wanted to just be like, I can't believe how much
everyone
I love
should go
this.
Buy this thing.
Like, the Pixelbook Go, honestly, is one of those ones I still, when I reach for it, I'm like, I'm happy to grab that Chromebook. Very happy to pull that thing out and use it. And it's not the fastest thing in the world. It's like the Core i3 to me, it's not that big of a deal. And eMMC storage, not that big of a deal. You know, it's I don't know. It's just picking it up and using it. Do I love it? And I like it. I don't know that I love it. And I don't think that's going to change by the time we get the review done. So one last thing I'll say about it that frustrates me to no end is the fact that there's like basically a scar on here. And it was like the same way on the other one. So I'm guessing this is just going to be what it is. Because of the plastic chassis on the inside, they put the Intel sticker, they put the Energy Star sticker, and then they put this huge sticker on the left side. You can see, and it is the worst sticker removal experience I've ever had. There's a lot of Chromebooks that come with that big palm rest sticker and literally peels right
and
off.
And I still don't understand, because they use these Mylar stickers that and whatever adhesive. Why don't they just use the clear vinyl cling stickers?
Right.
That just peel right off.
It can be
stick
on
it there. On your car window or whatever, but I should be able to grab
take
it,
the stickers,
pull it right off.
And there
costs money. They don't want to spend money.
I don't feel any residue on here.
Yeah, but you can see it though, on the right light. Yeah,
and it's never going to go away.
No,
this is a $700 laptop.
That's insane.
This is unacceptable.
Yeah,
unacceptable. And
like, if someone
went, both of them that we got are like that, and I would assume they're all probably going to be like that, because this plastic probably
just has something
sticks that, too much with that. It's too porous, probably, or whatever. And that little stuff like that is so annoying on a higher end Chromebook.
Well, and it's just something that you wouldn't see on like a Mac or something,
or
like,
a Surface.
Yeah, or a Surface. Like, if that was the case, people would be losing their crap, you know. Oh, no. And like, and that's an expensive device. Like $700 right. is a lot of money to spend on a Chromebook. And
again, that goes away if you just would have put aluminum in here. Like it would have peeled off fine.
So, yeah, that's a bummer. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, we trying to peel that thing off, we had alcohol wipes, we had...
When the second one came in, I was like, maybe this will be better, and it was literally just as bad. It was so ridiculous. Like, half an hour it took me of scrubbing
and using alcohol wipes. Because, like, the top layer comes off, and then there's this, like, under
There's no peeling it. Like, it comes up in very tiny micro pieces.
It was so bad,
and you can't scrape it with too much because it's plastic. So you don't want to scratch it. So you just have to keep
We had said, we were like, oh, grab the magic eraser. Nope, that won't work.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a magic eraser to that. Now that the aluminum maybe, but to plastic, no.
I don't even know that I would use like one of those plastic pry tools or something.
No, probably not.
You would scratch it.
You're going to put a groove in it or something. Yep. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, soft surface.
We'll talk about that in the review, obviously, because that's...
The entire review is just the sticker.
It's just going to be a time lapse of me scraping the sticker off.
That's so bad. But the thing is, like, I mean... There are some great things about this device, you know,
absolutely.
The screen is just, it's fantastic. So it all comes back to like, what do you value in a device? What is it that you're looking for specifically?
Right.
Is it going to be sitting on a desk all the time? Cool. Like the plastic, you know, flimsiness isn't a big deal. Yeah. It feels fine on the desk. Like no problem, but
and it feels fine in your lap and it feels like I can pick it up from the corner. It's sturdy and it's not like it's flimsy.
No.
It's not that. It's just...
It's just not as rigid as you would want it to be.
Right, for $700 because, and this is how, like, doing this review is going to be weird because I'm going to have to keep coming back to this. And I've said this about this device since we knew it was coming. The interesting part of this is because of the price and because of the number of things that they removed. So it's not like this step forward to a new device and it's different. This is basically the same device with a bunch of compromises.
Exactly.
And so in that vein,
you have to justify those in some way.
Unless it's going to be $500 or $400, you've got to say, okay, you've taken out more than $300 worth of stuff here. I mean, you removed a bunch of things between the processor, the storage type, the pin, the camera, the fingerprint scanner, the aluminum chassis, the OLED screen. Like, that's a lot of stuff to remove, and then you've only cut the price by $300. So you don't get to show up and miss anything.
Right.
Your feet are to the fire now. You have to nail it. And I just don't... This doesn't quite nail it. Now, everybody won't look at it that way. There's a ton of people that'll approach this. They'll have never seen the Galaxy
Chromebook I wanted. You know, this might be perfect for them. Yeah.
Right. And so it'll be interesting to kind of... But that's the way I'm probably going to tackle this review because ultimately that's what people are asking. Like, did they make the right cuts? And if at this point right now, I feel like they kind of missed it or the price just needs to come down. And they could have put it on sale at $699 knowing... That next month or the month after, they're going to always have it on sale.
Yeah,
for
and that's the thing. At $599, I mean, it's pretty easy.
I feel a lot better.
But if you had $600 in your pocket right now and that was on sale for $599, I would tell you go to Best Buy and buy the Spin 713. That's just me.
Hmm. Yeah. Save another couple $100 and go get a Flex 5.
Or that.
Yeah.
Because it's not that big of an upgrade.
Same internals.
The aesthetics. Very different, though, for those two devices. It is. Yeah. If aesthetics are important to you.
If you're about the look and the screen,
yeah,
it's still not worth $700, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just don't... In a world where we look at $1,000, and it's easier. A lot of times it's like, well, that $1,000 Chromebook has this, and is built by this, and does that, and it's apples and oranges a little bit, and you're trying to go, okay, let's look at it from a perspective of going, okay, let's look at this Chromebook, and it... You know, has these features and appeals to these people, and this one has these features and appeals to these people. Now we'll compare those two and say that this is worth that and that's worth this. And it's like that's difficult to do. This is way less difficult. You got a red 13.3-inch Chromebook that looks a lot like this one, made by the same company with the same name. It's very easy to compare next to them and go, oh, well, that doesn't have this, and oh, that doesn't have that, and. And because of that, they've kind of set themselves up, I think, a little bit for some of that, especially because it's not like they pulled the original. It's still on the shelves.
Like, if they just would have named it something different, would this have
if it was Galaxy
been
Chromebook
a
Alpha,
different review?
totally different. Yep. But the fact that it's the two, and now it feels like we got to explain.
Well,
like,
and
think about if they made if the Pixel 3a would have come out after the Pixel 3 XL, and you had the 3a XL, and they called it the Pixel 4.
Right.
Nobody would have bought that.
They were like, exactly.
You, right. You downgraded all the things and gave it another number.
Like, right.
That doesn't make any sense. That makes sense to no one. So that fact makes zero sense, and it makes it. It's just a weird device. Yeah. It's a weird device that had its predecessor not existed, we could, you know, be in
look
a vacuum here.
Yeah.
I still think at $700, it's still looking at the competition that exists around it. It would still be a bit of a hard sell. But again, yeah, it just depends on what things are important to you.
It's been so long since we've had our hands on one, but the cheaper C436.
Yeah,
I mean, it offers a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah, but that's like, I feel like the chassis of it was a really flimsy,
yeah,
and the
true.
Key. I hated the keyboard and the screen.
Yeah, they missed on the price of that for sure. But it just feels like $700 should get you more than what this device is offering.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Especially if the original was $1,000.
Right,
and that's the problem.
That's
you
the problem.
Keep coming back to that, and going, wait, yeah. That's $1,000.
Yeah,
I'm losing all of those things.
But it's only $799 right now.
I know.
Yeah,
and
I know,
it'll
right?
probably stay that way for a while. I bet it does.
And that makes it even more difficult because it's in every way aside from the battery. And I really didn't have overheating issues with it. It got a little too warm. You know, to make me feel like, is this thing going to last for a long time? Battery aside, the original is better than this device in every way, in all ways. And so that becomes unfortunate because you got to say that. I mean, it's just true. It's a better screen. It's a better build quality. It's a better keyboard. It's a better trackpad. It's got a
stylus.
It's got a pen. It's got a front-facing camera also. It's got a fingerprint scanner.
Yeah.
It's got a faster processor. It's got better storage. It's better. It's better across the board, except battery.
Yeah. I thought it was so weird. We were going to do the unboxing, and we realized this thing, the storage on this
CMMC.
Thing. It's like,
that's just another one of those
sucks.
Things. Just like, it wouldn't have cost
one more
you that
little
much.
Thing. Like, one more little thing. Yeah, so it's just, obviously, there's some things that we got to put into, got to take all these thoughts and put it into a, you know, 10-minute video, which we will do, but this one will be interesting.
I'll use it at home again a lot over the weekend and again all next week. And, you know, I've been working from this exclusively, but you know, these thoughts are forming pretty hard. And I don't know, I get bummed about reviews like this sometimes because
for sure
I wanted to be able to be like, hey, they pared things down, but they pared the right stuff down. And this is a great experience, and I love this Chromebook.
Well, as much as this is our job, and as much as we, you know, are reviewing things, like, we're also just fans of these things.
Right.
So you were just excited about the device just as anyone else was excited about it. You know, so it's like, that's where you can... you know, get hyped about something, and then it comes up, and you're like, oh, darn it. This didn't quite deliver what I thought it was going to.
And when that stuff happens, like, I think about the upcoming Coach Z tablet that I'm so hyped on it. I'm afraid that there's no way it's ever going to live up to hype. Like, there's no way.
Did we say it last week's podcast? How often Robbie writes an article about Coach Z? At least one a week.
Go to the website.
Minimum.
I've got two in the hopper.
Oh, I
two
know.
More. And
oh,
I just try to space them out because like there's so much stuff about it. Like, it keeps
for
popping
sure.
up, and I'm like, oh, there's more stuff we
it's
know.
It's going to be, I think, if anything, it's going to deliver a new experience. I think
it will be
do that, and from there we'll have to determine, you know, all of these other things like we talk about with any other Chromebook. Like, we'll have to evaluate it at that, but I think there's reason to be excited just for the fact that it's gonna deliver something different, you know, that we haven't quite, like the X2 HP, you know, that tablet.
Yeah,
like that thing was dope, and it was
like the keyboard attachment sucked so bad.
Keyboard attachment was garbage. So it's like, this one's gonna, and that one was, what was, what size was that?
It was 12.3. So it's the size of the Pixel Slate.
Right. It was, and so we're getting this kind of refinement of a Chromebook tablet that I think is gonna be really interesting. So I mean, Coach Z, I'm stoked on that one for sure. I mean, we talked about it last week, I think, but like, being able to have that device that, we always come back to this, have that device that I can take home, I can sit on my my reading chair and read the news in the morning, drink my coffee, and it's comfortable to hold. I can consume media on it, you know, if I want to watch a show or whatever. And I can read on it, like read my Google Play book.
So it's going to play great games.
It's going to have games. But then I can bring it to the office and dock it, yep. You know, and get productive. So it's going to be an interesting device, I think. So let's take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be back to talk. We've got a couple other things here to talk about. I'm not sure what we're going to get to next, but just stay tuned. We'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. We are going to dig in to something a little different here. I know we talked a lot about hardware there. We actually have some other hardware stuff to talk about. We like hardware.
Of course.
Hardware is the best.
Yeah. Speaking of hardware, can I get some new headphones?
That's how we got started. Of course you can. Okay,
I can plug my AKGs in here, right?
Sure,
okay, you could.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Sure you could. I wouldn't mind actually getting some.
Oh, those are the... I bought two Sony headphones in my build-up to go finally buy
the headphones
QCs.
Are great. I'm a hat guy. I wear hats more often than I don't.
So vain. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean...
I wear my hair, I guess.
I wear a hat probably 4 days a week at work, if not five. So I fix my hair like twice a week. I got up crazy early this morning to go do something really stupid. We don't talk about it.
It's not stupid, man. Be proud of it.
We'll talk about it later. Anyway, so and I'm going to do a video today. I don't do videos just for that. That's why Robbie gets haircuts every 10 days, and he's always fresh and camera ready. And I
need one today.
I don't want to say I envy that, but I'm proud of him for that. He's always ready.
I'm a big boy.
You know, and it's not a vanity thing. He's just always ready at the drop of a hat to be on camera, and I am not that person. If Joe's like, you want to do a video? And I'm like, let me go buy a razor real quick.
I'll be right back.
So today my hair's fixed, and I'm shaved with my new razor I got for Christmas, which Robbie recommends. That could be the first newsletter. That brawn is
there
bad.
We
I love it.
Series 6 I'm looking at at Sam's.
The six?
Yeah.
What I got the seven.
You got the seven.
Seven, yeah. Yeah.
So that's a whole tangent.
Anyway, so, you know, I'm ready to go for a video today, but I got these over-ear headphones on. They keep sliding off because I don't want to put it on top of my head because it's smashing my faux hawk.
No, we can.
We got hair glue in here. I don't know what I'm worried about.
I do have
we have
three
hair
products.
Product floating around this office.
I mean, you guys probably know this, like in-ear reference monitors that, like, I used to drum with that are, like, fitted well. They make something similar to those that obviously aren't as expensive, but they're like for podcasting and stuff.
Okay.
That are just probably a little bit of a better quality than just your regular.
I use these $15 ear. What is it? The prior to AirPods. These are EarPods.
EarPods, yeah.
The ones they used to actually ship with the phone. Now Apple doesn't give you anything with your phone. But you can buy these like $15. I think.
Like, yeah.
At Best Buy. Honestly, earwigs. For what we do, for you guys, it's just mainly having, you know.
Just reference.
Yeah. Reference. Like, yeah. For me, maybe something a little different. I don't know. We'll see. Anywho.
Yeah, we don't care what it sounds like. That's Joe's job.
Yeah, exactly. And as of right now, I don't have my headphones on.
I mean, these sound really nice. I'm going to go ahead and say.
Yeah,
these
sound fine.
They sound good.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anywho, let's talk about some big news this week. Well, I guess it came out yesterday or Wednesday.
Yesterday.
There was post on the keyword, right?
It was on the Chromium blog.
It was on the Chromium blog. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought they ended
Which
up putting
technically
it on
you can get there via the keyword.
Sorry, I'm reading this and I'm like, thoughts about the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2 or two thoughts about the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook?
There's no comma or colon.
So.
Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2.
Two thoughts.
We'll share a picture of that somewhere so you all can see what I'm talking about.
But yeah, so they're releasing. They came out and said, "Hey, we're ready to do 4 week updates." So they looked at the fact that they've been doing biweekly security updates, and this is for Chrome specifically, is what they said in this blog post. And they realized, "Hey, we've been doing this, and then the 6 week week update schedule. We feel pretty confident we can start rolling 4 week updates now to Chrome." So if you thought 6 weeks was pretty rapid as far as getting updates,
which it is.
I mean,
it really is
cutting it by 33%. So It wasn't clear in the blog post. I read it multiple times just to kind of see. The only reference to Chrome OS and Chromebooks was because they extended it and said, okay, we're doing 4 weeks, but then we're going to do, what's it called? Stable? Extended stable?
Yeah, so it's kind of like what Firefox does with ESR, extended stable release. It's just a long-term supported release, I guess.
Yeah, and so the idea there being like that you can put out if you want, like as administrators for businesses and stuff, we don't want to get hit every time there's an update. Like, make sure it's good. And so I don't know if that does it put them behind a very like it's just its own release.
Yeah, it's its channel, own release. I'm not exactly sure.
Like if they're on 88 right now, and 4 weeks from now 89 comes out. Well, if you're on that extended, do you just skip 89 and wait for 90? Or do you wait till 90 comes out and you get 89 at that point?
I think that's how it works.
Yeah. Super stable.
Yeah, because like with Firefox ESR, it's usually like a version or two behind, and then you advance forward just at a slower... Yeah, I'm not sure. And we've seen them working on that in the new LaCrosse browser because they actually have a new flag. Not new, but there's a flag for LaCrosse where you can set... how frequently you want updates, and they refer to as the longer update period, they refer to that as the more stable version. So there, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the point Robbie was getting to, is that they're looking at creating a way for those stable releases to be kind of micromanaged by admins. That way you don't want an enterprise with 5,000 devices getting an update right. And it's got a bug in it.
Yeah. So. I mean, if I'm looking at, so they have this kind of diagram they put, and I put this in the blog post on the site. The extended stable refresh, for instance, for M94 would happen at this point. So there's two refreshes that are happening. And then they get an update another 6 weeks after that. So it'd be 8 weeks after the initial launch. It shows them basically skipping M95 because that's stable. Okay.
Yeah, so they would have to. Otherwise, they're gonna keep getting further and further behind. Yeah.
And so maybe I would assume then part of the development then it'll be like a TikTok kind of thing. So your one update will be a big update. Your next update might not be as big of an update, so that it lets the and I would say the extended release probably would be like, hey, we only want to get updated when you're doing the refresh. So it's like, you know, you got a 2021 Honda Accord. We just redid everything. It's brand new. You don't want that one. You want the 2022. Nope. Let them figure the kinks out. And then, you know, the next one where they change it all again, you want the one after that. And so maybe that's kind of, I'm assuming. I don't know. The idea, though, behind it, no matter how they present it or talk about it, is for schools and for businesses, for those admins to have the flexibility to say, we want more stable, not less stable. Because I'm sure when they said, hey, we're going to start updating every 4 weeks, I'm sure a ton of admins went, oh my God.
No.
Yeah, because it doesn't happen. Yeah, it doesn't happen like all the time, but we saw over the past couple of years a couple of instances where an update to Chrome OS completely borked stuff for schools, and you can't have that. It just can't happen. That stuff it has to be avoided.
And so we talk about all that because there's one sentence in the middle of the post where it says, for users on Chrome OS, we also plan to support multiple stable release options. Obviously talking about this extended stable release cycle. We'll have more info, or I'll have more to share with Chrome OS administrators in the coming months about the choices you'll have for milestone updates to your managed devices, and then they move on.
Right.
That's the only mention of Chrome OS.
Which they sort of already have that, because with the admin console, and a lot of schools do this, they'll keep a few devices on the beta channel. They have like a beta option, but they pin their stable devices. So most or a good majority of managed devices, especially at schools, don't get updates as soon as they roll out. They don't get updates until the admin says, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
Right, which is
so
smart.
Yeah, so when the update rolls out, the admin goes in the console and they say pin stable, and then it doesn't move until the admin says otherwise, which is, like Robbie said, that's smart.
And so because of this, like some of the early stuff that was covered with this just freely assumed that Chrome OS would be included in this. So now we're going to get Chrome OS updates every 4 weeks.
False.
I don't know that that's the case, and for a couple reasons. One, and I'm thinking about maybe doing another post maybe over the weekend on this as I get my thoughts together, but they would have said in here you know, Chrome OS and Chromebooks will get the same updates. You know, they expect that same thing. They don't. They just talk about Chrome. Some of the things they link in here are only talking about Chrome.
Yeah,
Chrome
and they make it a point to say, Chrome OS people, we got some news for you coming. Right. So clearly it's not going to be the same thing.
And on here it says, for users on Chrome OS, we plan to support multiple stable releases. And so they're talking about the stable, the extended stable stuff. Like, they're not talking about the four-week option. Like, and so that was the initial red flag that I was like, you know, are they going to do, is Chrome, are Chromebooks going to be part of this or not? And then they link over to the Chromium Dash, which is basically the schedule that they put out. So to say, hey, here's when features need to be done by, blah, blah, blah. And they go down the list and tell you exactly when all of this stuff is going to be rolling out. And so that they kind of have a schedule that they're holding themselves to. And so, oops, I clicked the wrong thing here. I want to pull up because I want to say the exact thing here. So if we look at the schedule, all of this isn't going to start till 94, which is in Q3. When we click over in this dash to 94, all the way up to it, you get the same stuff. It shows you when beta promotions are happening and when its stable cutoff is going to be the stable release. And then it also has a next line item for stable release of Chrome OS. And it's always a week after. And that's how it's always been. You get to 94 and there is no line item for Chrome OS. So at first I saw that and was like, oh, well, you know, maybe that means Chrome OS is just understood to be part of this. But right underneath that, there is a new line that says, note, Chrome OS release dates for M94 Plus, so 94 moving forward, will be available soon. See here for more details, and it links you back to the blog post. So release dates for M94 Plus will be available soon, meaning they're not available now. If they were going to roll Chrome OS and Chrome together like they have been, there would be no need for this note.
All right.
Clearly, they're doing something different. What exactly it's going to be, we're not sure. But like always, we have some thoughts. If you go to the repositories right now, there is an insane amount of work being done in the last couple months on LaCrosse. And we haven't talked about LaCrosse here for
not a little while.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Well, because it's like we saw this work being done. But we honestly have just kind of like, what?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of what theorizing about what the purpose behind it is. But I mean, it really kind of seemed like this was going to be a way for people to continue using Chrome even when a device went EOL. But now it looks with this and some other things.
But it could still do that.
It could. But this makes it really look like Google is trying to separate Chrome and Chrome devices.
Well, because remember when this all first came out, I want to say 9to5 maybe, or maybe it was Android. Somebody else wrote basically, you know, Google's getting ready to separate Chrome and Chrome OS, you know, apart. Yeah. And we were like, maybe, but it could be for updates.
Right.
You know, that device is dead, but we can keep getting security updates to Chrome, the browser. And at some, you know, at that point, you know, you take the update, the final update, and for that final update for that device, it would get rid of the Chrome browser that's kind of baked into Chrome OS and give you this LaCrosse, which if you haven't read about this or heard about this, basically it's another virtual machine. It's another sandboxed, you know,
container
yep. that they've put Chrome, basically Linux.
It's the Linux version Chrome. Of Chrome. Yeah.
A couple cool things about LaCrosse, I think, is if you open it and it's running well, like I'm in beta right now and it's acting weird, but I haven't restarted since I turned it on. But I've had it running in other instances where it almost feels like it runs smoother than the Chrome yeah. that's built into Chrome OS. Yep. Like the scrolling's all smooth and stuff. There's a couple things that don't work, but if you want that multi-account thing, we made that whole video about how to deal with multiple accounts on Chromebooks. That might all be moot in a couple months if this ends up being the thing. But the idea is you would have Chrome, like it's not going to look any different and users aren't going to know any different. It's just going to be Chrome the same way you get it on Windows or Mac or Linux. It's the Chrome browser. And while that feels a little strange for those of us who've been around this for a long time, it makes actually a lot of sense because then they can develop and keep up and patch and secure Chrome once all the time. Here it is. Everybody's mm-hmm. on the same version. There's no you get that and then you get this. And some of these features are here for that and not for that. Like Chrome is Chrome. Chrome is wherever it is and it's Chrome. And yeah, it's still a Chromebook and that's all fine and good. But you know, Chrome OS has matured to a point where it doesn't need to lean on a browser all the time.
Right.
Like, and that again, for those of us who have been here for a while, it
it's just a browser, man.
Yeah. Not anymore. Actually, it's not a browser at all anymore.
Nope.
You know, so and so that's what lacrosse is. And so if you're hearing this and going, oh, I've never heard of this before, you see why it's a bit confusing as to what they're going to use it for. There, at this point, there's no question they're going to do something with it. It's not like they're just doing this to play around.
Yeah, so it's going to feel more like your Chromebook is a Chrome device, like your laptop is a Windows device, and Chrome is your browser. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be, oh, I'm going to install Firefox and whatever. But Chrome is just going to be its own thing, the way it is on everything else.
And I think it's going to give Google a great opportunity. And already I can tell, like, just because of the responsiveness and how good it is, I think it's going to give them a really good opportunity to be able to show, like, hey, we've been talking about containers and doing containers. We've got Borealis coming. You know, we've got Christini. We've got Parallels. Here's Google building a container for Google's own product on Google's own operating system.
Well, Android's moving to that same setup.
And I think they're going to really use this as a showcase, too, to show, like, here's how to do it well. Because you, honestly, I mean, I can click, I have lacrosse turned on right now, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you can't tell the difference. There's not like, oh, I can definitely tell this is a sandboxed, you know, app or whatever.
Yeah, because when it first launched, when it first came out, the original...
So janky.
It looked like an old version of Chrome. Now it just looks like the Chrome browser that's already inbuilt to...
Other than the fact that you got a little dude up the top where you could sign in multiple
like
accounts.
Like you would on Mac
or Windows. Or Windows or anything else. And so it's like, okay, this is pretty cool. And I completely see, you know, where they're possibly going here. There's still work to be done. And there's a bunch... Like, you got to think about... Chrome on a Chromebook right now has access to everything.
Right.
No issues with, oh, we got to pass this to this. They have to think about every one of those contingencies and make sure that this container that they've created for this, because this is a custom container just for Chrome. And once it's done, and if it works completely seamlessly, I think this then becomes a use case for them to go, if you want your stuff on a Chromebook, yeah, you're going to have to build a container for it, but ultimately, if you do it right, it'll look like this, and it's so seamless, there's no differentiation between, oh, this runs on Chrome or this runs in a container. Like,
right.
And this is like this perfected version of that.
And we've talked about that before, because Google's been working for quite some time with this, what they call a plug-in VM, which is what Parallels uses. It's just their pre-built container and VM shell. And all you have to do is make sure your stuff works inside of that shell, and then the end user just has to click it and it works. I mean, that's all there is to it.
And I think this will be proof of that concept. Like,
I mean, it's what a Linux app. If you have Christini enabled and you install a Linux app that has its own icon and stuff, and you go and you start that Linux app, that's exactly what it's doing.
Yeah.
But you can tweak your stuff to work exactly how you want it to on that device.
Well, as they work on this version of Chrome, I'm sure they're probably working out some of the kinks and probably being able to apply that to the shell, like Gabe was saying. Like, it's making it all better.
Because the earlier versions of them doing VM type stuff and containers on Chromebooks, it felt like they were trying to, here's this one container you can put stuff in, and you know, this is the Linux container, and so these different Linux applications needed different dependencies and all this stuff. Yeah. And so like that Linux, the particular version of Linux that you have in there and that distribution isn't going to work with that app. And it's like, they kind of saw that, because like Android was the first container and they obviously made some missteps there. Christini made it better, but now they're doing these individual, this container works for like this particular thing. And Parallels isn't a perfect example of that, because it's still running a Windows framework inside of that. But Lacrosse, Borealis, and things like it in the future, I think, are going to be perfect examples of, here's how Chrome OS leverages containers moving forward. They're best done when it's, you make a container for your thing, your one thing.
Right, because most executables, or many of them, can be ran with just the basic framework that they need. They don't need an actual full-blown operating system.
Yeah.
So imagine... you have your Windows laptop, and there's that one particular, what does Mac use? They use DMG files. Is that damage files?
.dmg.
Is what I always call
damage files.
Damaged files.
Yep. .dmgs.
You have this one, let's say it's Final Cut, whatever. and you really want that, but you want to stay on Windows. Well, it'd be like Windows saying, okay, well, hey, here's this little room that runs parallel to Windows, and Windows is just acting as the host, and the bits and pieces that Final Cut needs to run is inside of this little room. Drop it in there, execute it, it runs, and then Windows serves it as the host. That's exactly what Google's doing, and it really opens up the doors to any developer who's willing to do the work to say, we want our program to run on a Chromebook. Let's figure out what we need to put in that container.
I have one that I really, really hope is doing just that, a little company called Adobe.
Yeah. And there's a good reason to think that we don't have any like firm proof.
Yeah.
But if they've looked at it and gone,
this is going to be a better way.
Eventually,
of doing this,
we
could
go that route.
App.
Yeah. Yeah. And Adobe could create one container for their products.
Exactly. Like, it could plural, be the creative cloud.
Instead of custom building a mobile app that runs in Arc VM.
Right. Because now you're dumbing down your product to make it work for Android that's going to then work in Arc VM. Eventually, it's in Arc. Like, why not just build a direct link
portal
to that and say, hey, look, here's our container for all of Adobe's products. So when you go to install them, the thing is they don't run Linux. Like, they don't have Linux, but clearly the Windows framework works
fine. Yeah.
So yeah, there are some ways that they can leverage all this stuff and make it work probably. I don't know.
It's just so weird. We can't ever say this person that we talked to, but we were at CES one time and someone told us, yeah, I was on the plane ride over here and was editing a video in Rush.
Yeah.
Like, it was there, or maybe it's still there for some people to test things or whatever, but it, they were working on it, and then it just, like, it's been silenced, and it really does make me wonder if this is what they were right on the cusp, if you recall, was that 3 years ago or 2 years ago? That was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was on the cusp of some of this other container work, so...
they could have backed up and said, let's go that route. Especially now with some of the new hardware that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get these Intel Tiger Lake chips that have great GPUs. You get these, the AMD chips that we're seeing right now are good, but the ones that are coming are going to be they're going to be on that Tiger Lake kind of level with GPU and CPU power.
Or the 8195.
Yeah, I don't know if ARM chips are going to be where you want to be editing videos, but you know, there's hardware coming that will support this type of work. Maybe not on like a high end professional level, but to do what we do, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Yeah, it's super interesting to think of. And so when you start talking about all of that stuff, and we look at the 4 week update cycle for Chrome, and we see these notes on here that Chrome OS release dates for M94 Plus will be available soon. Like, we're going to let you know what's going on soon. I don't know what they're going to do with Chromebook updates. Maybe they start doing Chromebook updates every 8 weeks. Because ultimately, Chrome OS now doesn't have to be beholden to
the Chrome schedule.
Right. Yep. You don't have to stay on the same version of Chrome anymore. Like, they could change it to, this is version 1, you know, and you'll go to Chrome OS 2.0 when we get there. Instead of feeling like, we're at that 6 week point, we got to roll an update out. Are we going to put that with it? Are we going to put that with it? Put that behind a flag? Like, the Chrome team work on Chrome,
and then
the Chrome OS team needs to just keep building Chrome OS.
They could go the direction of, not necessarily Mac, but Windows, where it's just like, this is just Chrome OS.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a number. Hey, you got an update.
That's true.
And I mean
it's going to have a version number somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be a version number. For you Windows users out there, what version, apart from Windows 10, what version is your Windows?
Right. Nobody knows.
I don't know.
Do you have the latest update? Sure.
I took an update the other day, and it took 6 hours. So there you go.
And so that becomes a different idea then if that's how they move about it. And it feels like that's what the case is going to be. And so we've talked about lacrosse. We've talked about what it is. My bet right now is that they're busting their hump on lacrosse because at 94, it's going to split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna start rolling 4 week updates to Chrome, and Chrome is going to be Chrome on Chromebooks.
Yeah,
Chrome devices. You got to stop saying Chromebooks.
I guess so.
For when
Chrome
the watches
device
and the phones come rolling
Chrome
out.
Devices
for Chrome devices.
Foldables.
For Chrome devices.
My Chrome TV.
Welcome to Chrome device.
So I just clicked into the MacBook here, and this Mac that we use in here for the podcasting is on version 10.14.6, but it's all under
like Big Sur, right?
Or whatever, you know.
Oh, is it Mojave?
This one's on Mojave still. So
oh.
The new one's Big Sur.
Big Sur, yeah.
But it's all, I think they're all still Mac OS X, right? Or whatever. Like they're all in that, but then they theme them.
Yes.
So like that could be how Android like does. You have a main kind of theme, you know, call it whatever you want, and then there's updates throughout that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are all named after
national. These are all national park
monuments and stuff like that. Yeah. Because you have El Capitan and
Yosemite and then Mojave and then, they're on Big Sur now. But that could be fun. Like just do kind of a theme, a big kind of push that then you just have updates throughout. And
whenever I get an update on here,
I just kind of update it. Like it's not, you know.
It just so happens that Chrome OS is a 10.
Yep. Chrome OS X. I like it.
Interesting.
I like it.
Have you thought about that until just now, or did that just hit you?
It just hit me.
Holy crap.
We have unraveled the multiverse of Chrome OS on this podcast, and no one will ever hear it.
First ones to say it.
Chrome OS 10.
We have figured it out.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here.
If it happens. If it doesn't happen, just forget you heard it.
No, but that could totally be it,
dude.
That
would be so cool.
And then, you know, ultimately, then they could say, hey, you know, they send out an update when it's ready.
Exactly. Like,
they got a security update. Cool, push it. You got a...
You rarely ever know anyway, other than the little, hey, you got an update.
Right. There's some security updates that come between updates.
And us
and
talking
like,
about
oh,
the versions. I mean, doing videos about versions, but most people just
because it takes 5 seconds to install and reboot anyway.
Right.
So what's it matter?
Yeah. And so, I mean, they can just update as they update. And then when they're ready to push some new features, they can group them, be ready, and then do one update and say, here's three new features coming to your Chromebook or your Chrome device.
Yeah.
And push them out. And it was 6 weeks and 4 days. Or
doesn't
it was
matter.
8 weeks and 9 days. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Who cares? So, I again,
that
we
would
don't
be a,
know
That would be such a different, like, it'd be so different than what we, like, on the kind of technical side, we've grown accustomed to.
Right.
But man, it makes more sense from a development standpoint, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing. They've been stuck with this. Yes, you want Chrome, the browser for the web that's constantly evolving and changing, to be updated, updated, updated. And I'm not saying you don't want Chromebooks to be secure and updated in a nice, reasonable fashion. But I feel
it's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like they're always under the gun. Like they're always behind. They're always just trying to
get the thing out the door. And then you deal with stuff like the pandemic, where now all of a sudden they had to focus on features. They had to focus on getting Chrome OS ready for all of these remote workers and schools and all that stuff. How many security updates got sacrificed because they had to get this working, or because they were focusing on the screen recorder or this or that or whatever? Now that's a non-issue.
Yeah, because you let the Chrome team make Chrome secure and keep adding features, web features, and the Chrome OS team gets to just forget about that stuff.
Focus on the OS.
And focus on the operating system and the new features that are going to help users enjoy the experience more. And we see that with certain features, like how good virtual desks have gotten now that they've, for whatever reason, have just gotten to just pay attention to it. Like, pay attention and keep just iterating things and don't release them until they're ready. And when they're ready,
that's what I was
let people have them once they're done. Like, bake them all the way and then hand them to us.
And if you're not pushed on a certain schedule, you can do that much easier, right? And you can really refine features before you roll them out, rather than being like, well, we got to get this out. It's close enough. Throw it out. You know, typical Google kind of crap. Whereas this could solve a lot of that.
Yeah. And I mean, I hope it doesn't mean that we only get, like, you know, I always look at Mac people and, you know, they're like, oh, we finally got an update to the OS. It's been a year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
I don't want that.
All of this stuff rolls at one time. It's like, that feels overwhelming. And it usually ends up creating problems for a handful of users.
Absolutely.
There's always an update that breaks this and breaks that. I think regular updates as you go makes so much more sense.
Well, it's the nature of cloud computing that Chromebooks can do that. You know?
And I think that they need to keep doing that. They don't have to do it every six weeks.
Don't have to be on a set schedule for sure. Man,
so that
10
could
years
be,
old.
Yeah.
10 years old. Reworking it.
Yeah.
Now's
think it
the
could
time.
Be right. Could be right.
Oh, man. Robbie, you're on to something, man. It's Chrome almost OS like we think about
X.
this stuff.
Hmm.
CROSX. I don't know. Whatever. I think that could be really interesting. So, yeah, you heard it here. You heard it here first on the Chromecast.
And I'm going to publish something. I don't know if I'll go that far out of what we just said. I might
throw it out there, bro. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? If you're right, you can tell everybody I told you so.
Yeah. But I did want to at least put out there, like, I think putting the pieces together, because I came across this little tidbit on the Chromium Dash after I'd published the original stuff this morning, and it's like, oh. Because, again, at first I saw that and saw that Chrome OS had gone out of this for 94. I was like, uh-oh, I could, because I alluded to it, like, with a sentence or two. I was like, I might be wrong here, but I'm actually leaning the other way now. I'm like, no, I think, I definitely think it's getting split. Like, something's happening. There's no reason they would be putting these caveats in here. There's no reason they would have left Chrome OS out of the conversation. They're going to do something different with it. And if lacrosse wasn't a thing and we didn't haven't been watching it develop, because, I mean, I check it all the time. I'm like, I don't know what y'all are doing, but, man, they're doing a lot of it with development of this, and I'm not sure what it's going to be for, but obviously it's important. They're spending a lot of resources on making it work. And it's like, okay, 94, that gives us quite a few versions still for them to still work on this and make it work. And and again, the end user probably won't really know. It'll just, all they have to do is say, hey, we've added the ability to add accounts to your Chrome browser.
It'll be feature-based. It'll be like, hey, you can do this feature. Now. You can do this
because
now.
That's all the that matters end. When it comes to end users is what does it do for me? Exactly.
I like that.
What does it do?
Yeah. Anyway, I think, this could be really... This is really interesting because, the story kind of came out yesterday or whatever, and we kind of, like, talked about it a little bit, but I hadn't really, like... This is why I love podcasting.
Yeah, we've had
like,
some
thought about this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, now that you're saying this, it's like, there's something here. So,
yeah, 100%.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for sure. Let's switch gears here. Let's talk let's talk one other thing here. Do we want to do the two processors or the Chromebox thing?
Let's chat about the Chromebox.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to. I was thinking the Chromebox. I think it's something
One sentence. Here's my hot take. There's a new SC7280. The existing Snapdragon 7C Chromebooks were waiting to actually arrive, or the SC7180 internally, and a new SC7280 has shown up with a couple boards, Hero Brine, and I think it's supposed to be Senor, but they don't have the tilde maybe in the repository, so it's like Senor.
That character not available.
The two boards, new Qualcomm, no idea what it is. So update to the 7C. 7C with 5G?
Maybe.
That was my thought the other day. Maybe. I don't know.
And then you got... Well, might as well mention Cherry, since we're...
Yeah, so Cherry. We have an actual device now for the MT8195. Yeah. So I think we talked about it last week. It finally showed up after all these months. We're like, it's supposed to...
Yeah, and I almost overlooked it because I don't think Robbie had gotten in yet, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And for some reason, I was thinking it was based off of the 8192... And then almost overlooked it because if you've ever been in the repositories, they use the term cherry pick a lot, which that's just a common term for any type of repository. It's where they actually go in and cherry pick the things that they want to upstream and do whatever. So I saw it and I was like, oh, that's not. And then I looked at it and I clicked it. I was like, oh, wait, that's a board. Because usually board, not always, but usually boards are capitalized and this one was not. And I was like, oh, and then Robbie looked at it and was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what this is. And
is there any sort of theme for those MediaTek boards? Is cherry?
They're trees. MediaTeks are always trees.
There you go.
Elm, Realm, Oak. Ever since the Acer R13, they are always trees.
And then the SC7280, those two, I'm assuming are Minecraft. I know Hero Brine is very tied to Minecraft. Senor.
Who knows?
Which there's a weird app in the Play Store called Senor Hero Brine, and it's like a little indie game where you're playing as the character Hero Brine, but it's called Senor. So maybe that's where they got it. But I'm also interested. We need to ask somebody sometime who gets to name these, because MediaTeks are always trees, but Acer had the first MediaTek device. R13. And I didn't know this until I think last year. Acer is a tree name. There's called Acer. Yeah. So did Acer say, hey, we're making this, so it's going to be trees, so now they're all trees? Or
they had to run with
did
it.
MediaTek get to do that? So
Acer's like, look, we're a tree, you're going to make it trees.
It's all trees.
So, you hear me?
Trees.
Trees.
So there you go.
Okay. There you go.
Some new ARM chips. We knew they were coming. Well, 7280, I had no idea was a thing. I still don't even know what it is exactly, but... Eventually, we'll try to figure it out. Yeah. I don't know. It was hard enough. The 7180 took me forever to eventually nail down.
It's going
to
be the 7C. Together, yeah.
But if we see an update to the 7C anywhere, or they add 5G or something, like I'm going to basically say that's what that is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Enough. So let's talk about this Chromebox. So Gabe wrote an interesting article that is, I think probably, you know, applicable for a lot of people who are still working from home,
right,
or maybe they have a work from home setup and now they're realizing they're going to have to keep working from home, you know, and they thought maybe they'd be back in their office, but they're not. And so it's like these devices that we're trying to figure out that we have to work from now. Like what are you guys laughing at? I don't know.
Big red dot.
Yeah.
Eat. Sorry, I pitch zoomed in on eat.
Yeah.
Our Jimmy John's is out there somewhere.
Our Jimmy John's is ready for us. Freaky Fast Fridays.
That's right.
But yeah, like, you know, we have to figure out devices to have at home, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
and this was kind of cool because we haven't talked about Chromeboxes a lot lately, but they've had a resurgence over the last couple of years. There was a point in time where it looked like Chromeboxes were dead, but now you have the main manufacturers making them, and you have CTL, and then there's some other off names that have been reproducing them as white label devices. But I got to thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that the Chromebox is a perfect device to have at home because, you know, a lot of people use laptops and that's great or whatever, but even us who are Chromebook junkies, I don't use my Chromebook on the go that much. It's 90% of the time docked at my office.
Truth.
Or if I'm at home, I will have it in my lap, but I don't have an office in our current house. I did have a home at one point in time that had a home office set up, but I got to thinking, you know, what if I just didn't have a Chromebook for some reason? What if mine broke or my kid spilled some coffee on it? Or, you know, if I were to go out and recommend a home PC for someone, what would I recommend? And a Chromebox is perfect because it's not just a home PC. You can actually, we're actually getting ready to do this here in the studio. You can slap one on the back of a television, plug the HDMI port into the TV, and now you have a large screen computer. You have a device that will stream any type of media that you want. And you have a device that even the low-cost $250 Celeron models will play Stadia like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the perfect device to have around the house. And not only that, if you do happen to work at home, not all the time, you don't have a stationary home office, but you want to have some sort of home office setup, it's perfect. It's better than plugging your Chromebook into the TV or something every time you need to hook up or going out and spending money on a new monitor and a desk and all that stuff. Just put your Chromebook. We had one hooked up at Joe's house for a long time. Just hook it up to the TV, and then if you need it for something, it's right there all the time. I mean, and they're super affordable, and we're actually we're going to do a video today. You can get a Chromebox for around $250. They're Comet Lake. They'll get updates for another 7 years, but you can upgrade them super easy. You can put more RAM in them. You can put more storage in them, and it's really, really easy to do, and it's going to cost you a third the price of going out and buying if you go out and buy a decent tower Windows PC, a friend of mine just bought one for a golf simulator that he's built in his garage. He needed something that had a decent processor, but he needed something that had a GPU, nothing crazy, but it needed to have a modern GPU in it. And then, of course, you got an Ethernet card and this and that and all this stuff. It was $700. And that was without a monitor or anything else. So, I mean, he has $1,000 invested just in his PC setup. Or you can go buy this little 6-inch Chromebox that's going to be fast, and it's going to be fast for 7 years. It's always going to be secure. It's always going to have updates. And if lacrosse pans out, it'll be a web browser for the rest of its life.
Yeah.
So it's just they're great devices. I'm super glad that they made a comeback. And I really think that even though they've really pushed them to the enterprise market for kiosks and desktop setups and stuff, I really feel like it's a great device to consider if you just want a home PC. So,
yeah.
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 I'm not going to lie. Like, if I didn't review Chromebooks all the time, like, I've I've got to force myself to use the keyboard trackpad front of me. I need to look at the screen. Like, it'd be easy to dock this thing over on the side and never look at it because Chrome OS is Chrome OS, and that's a beautiful thing about the platform. I wouldn't even really be interacting with that device much at all. I would have a Chromebox on my desk all the time because I love the clean setup. I did that for a while, and especially like once these, you know, once Borealis is a thing and there's Tiger Lake.
You think of Core i5s
or Core i7s with that Chromebox. GPU.
Oh, yeah. So,
gonna be able to play some games on it. Like, yeah, that'll be real tempting to have sitting on the desk, to be honest with you. But again, because of what I do, that's not necessarily a thing I can get away with. But if I could, I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, my high school cross country coach, who is fairly techie. Like, he's always kind of trying to stay up to date on stuff. Like, I got him sold on Pixel phones, like, before everybody was buying phones. Like, he's always wanting to try stuff like that. He bought a Duet for the house, loved it, and was like, hey, we need to replace our home computer. I remember asking you guys, like, hey, what do we recommend? Like, what's out right now? Like, what can he get? And for the price, it's just, it's a great, and like, he already had a keyboard that he could use that was Chrome OS that he could, you know, or a mouse, and it's like, cool, do you have some sort of monitor that you can use? If not, hey, there's some pretty cheap monitors out there that you can go buy. And yeah, if you ever want to upgrade this thing, cool, pop off the back and swap out some RAM.
Yeah, and if you're using your television, it's very little investment. But I mean, even if you just need something to use from time to time, if you need something, you can invest. I mean, you can get a decent monitor for $100 at Best Buy or whatever. A Logitech mouse and keyboard with the dongle, so you don't have any wires. You can literally just stick them in the cabinet when you're not using them. And I mean, you're talking a $400 investment, and you have a complete home PC setup. I mean, for $400 easily.
Yeah.
So
it can be entertainment. You can get work done on it. Yeah. It's like, especially it's just a nice versatile setup for someone who might need to do a little work from home or is working from home, but, you know, also wants, you know, just a kind of media center or something.
Yeah.
Or
and especially
just like that home PC. There's that device you have around.
I mean,
you know,
especially if you're a PC gamer and you're used to using a mouse and keyboard instead of a controller, because we've played Stadia on these Celeron, the Comet Lake Celerons, it's butter. 8 gigs of RAM and a Celeron processor. I mean, and you like using a mouse and keyboard instead of a controller, you have a huge Stadia setup right there for very good, like
GeForce Now or xCloud,
whatever you want to put on there. Yeah,
whatever you want. Yeah, so. Yeah, cool article. I thought it was
one of those that was really fun to write, and I didn't expect it to really do much, but apparently everyone really, except for that one guy, everyone really loved it.
There's always that one person. Good article. We'll definitely link it, and definitely go check out that article and consider a Chromebox for your house if you want a home PC. So, okay, folks, I think that's it for today. As always, we really appreciate you all tuning in and listening, and we'll catch you all next week. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.